The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
So imagine for a second, last day of your job, new boss has been hired, you decide, you know, it's time to move on to greener pastures. You and your old boss had a pretty good working relationship. The two of you collaborated on several projects together. And, you know, you even saw your way through a few different scandals. Possibly the biggest potential scandal was, after learning of your boss's imminent forced departure, the two of you gathered those most loyal and planned to undermine the next boss. But on your way out the door, you had a creepy feeling of something was growing inside of you. Have I done enough? Did I do everything to complete the plan and cover our tracks? So just before you lose access to the corporate email server, you compose yourself an email. You know it's going to be found by the incoming regime. You can't access it in just a couple of hours, so there's no reason to write this email, except you know it's going to be found. It's a last-ditch effort at undermining the new boss, but more importantly, it implies that you did nothing wrong. You hit send, you get up, you walk out the door for the very last time. This is what, in a nutshell, appears to be what Susan Rice, the former national security advisor, did just before she walked out of the White House on Inauguration Day. Yesterday, Senators Grassley and Graham sent a letter to Susan Rice asking her to explain, quote, an unusual email, end quote, that they found was sent by her on her last day of work. The email was sent to herself via the NSC's official server on January 20th, but it was explaining a meeting that took place on January 5th. The email describes an interaction between Obama, law enforcement, and the intelligence community, and how the outgoing administration was considering withholding information regarding the Russia investigation from the incoming Trump team. Forced in, not once, but twice, were comments that her former boss allegedly made that he stressed to the need to do this absolutely by the book, and that he was absolutely, definitively, and definitely, absolutely, positively not trying to insert himself into law enforcement activities. Whew, glad we have a record of that. First of all, why did Obama feel the need to tell the FBI to, quote, go by the book twice in such a short time? Aren't the FBI's investigations always done by the book? Isn't that implied? Why did Rice write that Obama made it clear that he's not trying to influence the investigation? Could it possibly be that Obama, Rice, and the entire outgoing administration were engaging in an off-the-books operation to smear Donald Trump? Well, here's something that the rest of the press, including the New York Times, will not tell you. We found it in the New York Times. We're just going to bring these two pieces together. We found a story that ran March 1st in the New York Times. We happen to remember the headline, Obama Administration Rushed to Preserve Intelligence of Russia Election Hacking. This was a pretty damning article that was released back in March, and it implied that the Trump team was in danger of scuttling valuable information that would prove Russia interfered in the election. The article goes on to explain that the Obama administration proceeded to launch an operation of leaks to Congress, leaks to other agencies, leaks all over the place. But that story ran in the New York Times almost a year ago. I'm sure the reporters have, better things to do than read old news and maybe see if it ties into new news. Unfortunately for them, we have plenty of time on our hands. If you reread the article, the vast majority of information that is in the Times claims that Obama was leaking, and it sounds like it came from the same place, what we now know as the Steele dossier. Was the former president and his staff engaging in a leak operation of opposition research paid for by Hillary Clinton and the DNC? Did the FBI know about this? Was this email from Susan Rice a last-ditch effort at covering their tracks? If just one of these questions is yes, Well, forget Watergate. This will indeed be the biggest scandal in our nation's history.
It's Tuesday, February 13th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, Stu, I'm trying to find a better answer than she's covering tracks. Can you come up? Have you heard anyone come up with a legitimate reason on why she would have written this memo?
No, though I think that's always a risky way of looking at a story.
Sure. You know? I'm not saying that we condemn her. I'm saying that we look into it. I'm trying to. I have not been able to find an innocent reason.
Yeah, and I think the suspicion is super high. I mean, I think you read that email, it just reads as a terrible attempt to cover your ass, is what it says.
It's horrible. Do you happen to have the whole... Let's see if I have it.
But, I mean, I think we have to, as we do here, as we've all engaged in this many times over the years, we want to hear what her side is. I want to know. I'm not going to jump to every conclusion, it feels very easy in this case.
Do you think she might have written this because of a YouTube video?
Yes, I do think a YouTube video must have been involved. I mean, she's not a trustworthy source in the first place. She was someone that has been criticized correctly by the right for her role in that particular cover-up. In the Benghazi thing, blaming it on a video. That was her, if you don't remember.
And she knew the truth.
But she has been blamed for other things.
That she didn't do.
For example, the unmasking situation, which was she got a lot of heat from conservative media, seemed really bad. And then the Trump administration said, no, she didn't do it. It was actually not bad. She followed protocol. The Trump administration said that. So, you know, again, you want to step back, you want to look at this and take all the information in, but this is a first sign of something that looks particularly bad.
Okay, so this is the memo. Let me read the memo to you. On January 5th, following a briefing by the IC leadership on Russia hacking during the 2016 presidential election, President Obama had a brief follow-on conversation with FBI Director Jim Comey and Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates in the Oval. Vice President Biden and I were also present. President Obama began the conversation by stressing his continued commitment to ensuring that every aspect of this issue is handled by the intelligence and law enforcement communities, quote, by the book. The president stressed that he is not asking about, initiating, or instructing anything from law enforcement perspective. He reiterated that our law enforcement team needs to proceed as it normally would by the book. Wow, that's an incredible first paragraph, isn't it?
It was a by-the-book first paragraph, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. From a national security perspective, however, President Obama says he wanted to be sure that as we engage with the incoming team, we are mindful to ascertain if there is any reason that we cannot share information fully as it relates to Russia. President asked Comey to inform him if anything changes in the next few weeks that it should affect how we share classified information with the incoming team. Comey said he would. Now let me ask you a question. Why did she write this memo about a meeting that happened on January 5th, 2 weeks later? She writes it as she's leaving the office, her office. She's not coming back. She leaves it on her servers, which she will no longer have access to. I mean, this is the worst cover-up I've ever seen, if it is a cover-up. I mean, it's so obvious. Wait, you wrote yourself a note? Well, why? You couldn't get on the servers within the hour you were off the servers. Why did you write this note?
It's like you didn't show up for work 1 week and then you decided to just write in and say, I have to remind myself that I didn't clock in to work for the past 3 days. But I got to make sure when I go back in, I tell my supervisors that there was an error of me clocking in. Why would you email
Why would
yourself?
You do that?
Especially if you had no access to your email after.
I mean, you're not reminding yourself of anything.
No.
You're obviously leaving this as a breadcrumb trail for somebody.
Right, and it seems to be specifically designed to make sure Obama is clear, right? Like Obama, he was the one saying it was by the book. So if someone, let's just say, a Susan Rice or someone else is seen to be doing something that doesn't look so great. On record, you have Barack Obama with contemporaneous notes, and we know how
important.
Powerful, they're very important.
Very important.
It would have there would be record of he was the one that wanted to do it right, and we went the wrong direction.
Gosh darn it!
Yep.
How did we do that when he was so darn clear with us? Ugh.
Here's the other thing. Again, if we go back to the New York Times a year ago.
What that story was saying was that Obama and the Obama administration were leaking information, specifically leaking information that members of the Trump campaign were meeting over in Russia. They were having secret meetings in Russia. Well, there is no other source that we know of other than the Steele dossier for that one piece of information. Now, when this came out in March of last year, nobody tied this together. But now, when we see that she is saying, you know, we have to do everything by the book and we have to make sure that we are careful on which information we share. The New York Times said that the Obama administration was sharing with people information about secret meetings. So was the administration using the Steele dossier to leak to the press stories that could hurt Donald Trump? I think the answer to that one is probably yes, in seeing that the New York Times verified that they had leaked some information. They were leaking the Steele dossier because that is the only place where you find that piece of information that we know of.
Right. And there's different parts of that that we've discussed in that, you know, you might say if you, let's say, don't like Donald Trump, you might say, OK, look, the Steele dossier, we've seen parts of that look that look really shady. But Steele was a respected intelligence source. And the fact that they would look into something that he suggested they look into is not actually all that crazy. The problem with it is when it's something that's funded by the DNC, and it's something that comes in as opposition research, that you're weaponizing the intelligence services at that point. Because if you're following up those things, imagine how that could be abused and may have been abused here. But I mean, can you imagine setting a precedent where it's okay that a Democrat could or a Republican could fund research that that goes to the sitting president and then they use that BS to go open up investigations to catch God knows what, even if it has nothing to do with the initial tip? That's a really bad precedent to set. It feels very banana republic, right?
Oh, it's look, I've never understood why Ford pardoned Nixon, because it makes everybody look like there was some more stuff to it. And so why don't we do that? Why are people like Mike Lee? Because this is a question I asked Mike Lee. Mike, why are you not pushing for jail time for presidents if they really violate the law? And he said it's a scary balance, Glenn. And I didn't understand this at first until he really sat down with me. He said, here's the problem. If you set that precedent, then what will happen is the other side will then try to do it to your guy. And then you fall into the banana republic. You cannot use, you have to be very, very careful that we don't send people to jail unless it is truly high crimes and it is so clear. Otherwise, it's going to look like every other place that you have a challenger. Oh, well, look at this guy. I'm going to investigate him because I've heard X, Y, and Z. He needs to go to jail. You get rid of your challengers and you get rid of your ex-presidents. And he said, we've got to be very careful on that. So I agree with him that there are people that will weaponize our government. That's what this looks like. It could be the government had been weaponized by the Obama administration.
The only thing I can think of with the Susan Rice memo that would clear her at this moment. Again, we don't have to think of every reason. Maybe there's something we're not thinking of, but if she was the type of person And this is something that they've talked about with Comey, that he was that very intent on doing notes every day. If she sent herself that type of email every day that just outlined all of the meetings that she had, it might not be out of the norm.
But she didn't do this on the day. She did this the last day she was in office.
Right, but
two weeks after the meeting.
The question, though, is does she do this
from time to time
routinely? Is this a routine thing where she's constantly, like, for the record, emailing herself notes from specific meetings? I don't know that it clears her, but it would make it, you know, that might be a defense, a potential defense. Though we've heard no word of that yet. So, you know, that's still down the road. But that's the only thing I could even come up with. Why would you email this? And again, 2 weeks after the fact, still doesn't explain it.
Yeah, well, it does if you found out. I mean, at first you thought it was a problem, and then you found out that it was really just a YouTube video.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's true.
Then,
yeah, because then you'd have to make sure you updated.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.